Today is Quinquagesima Sunday, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and here is the schedule. There'll be a High Mass at 9 a.m., and before that Mass, there'll be the blessing of the ashes. And then there will be an evening Mass at 7 p.m. Blessed ashes will be imposed at the communion rail at both Masses. And at the evening Mass, it'll be right after the Mass. In the morning, it'll be during the ceremony. Blessed ashes will be distributed next Sunday after Mass for those who are unable to assist at Mass on Ash Wednesday. And then the evening doctrine class on the Catholic faith is canceled for this coming Wednesday. Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, so we will have the Holy Hour from 7 to 8 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And this Friday is the first Friday. The Mass will be at 8:30 a.m., followed by the conference and the rosary. And this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month, Mass at usual time of 8:30 a.m. The only feasts this week, or tomorrow, is the feast of St. Gabriel, Our Lady of Sorrows, whose photograph is in the shrine of the Our Lady of Sorrows. That's an actual photograph of him. And then, Saturday, commemoration of St. Casimir and St. Lucius. The fast and abstinence regulations begin on Ash Wednesday. So if you need to refresh your memory, they are all listed in detail in the back of the calendar, as you all know. And then if you have any questions about it, you can ask any of the priests and we can explain any details. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have charity, I have become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears with all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails, whereas prophecies will disappear, and tongues will cease, and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 18, verses 31 to 43. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. Now he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again." And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, "What wouldst thou have me do for thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee." And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Sunday, Quinquagesima Sunday, is the last Sunday before the greatest season of the liturgical year, the season of Lent, beginning the Paschal cycle. The word Quinquagesima means 50, so it is about 50 days before Easter. And it is the custom of the church to gradually, not abruptly, transition between the seasons. So these last three Sundays of the season of Septuagesima have been doing that for us. And as you may have heard from the priests from the last few Sundays, these three Sundays are dedicated to the three major patriarchs or figures of the Old Testament. So Adam, the father of the human race, was on Septuagesima Sunday, his theme. And in the Divine Office, it is explained. Last Sunday, Sexagesima Sunday, it was Noah, the father of those who are called to be the faithful children, those who are restored, because Noah is a figure of Christ. There are many things that were probably said about that last Sunday. Well, this Sunday is Abraham, the father of those who believe, who have faith in the Redeemer. And in fact, it was promised to Abraham that he would be the father of the Savior. In other words, from his line, generations, many generations later, Abraham, from his very body, the Son of God would come. The great virtue of Abraham, the example, is his great faith. Because after God gave him that promise, he had to wait 25 years wandering in the desert. And he married and had a son, Isaac. And as if you know your Bible history, he had just one son, Isaac, that was the promise was to come from. And God asked him to sacrifice his son. Which sounds terrible, but God, who has complete authority over life and death, and who is to live, who is to die, who is to be created, it all is up to God. So God asked Abraham to make this sacrifice. And even though it most likely cut him to the heart, he obeyed and took him on the mountain. And Isaac was helping him to prepare the altar of sacrifice because he didn't know. So the image of Isaac carrying the wood, the thickets of branches, bearing him on his back, he's a figure of Christ. And then Abraham had to seize his son and overpower him and tie him up. And just when he was about to plunge the knife into him and kill him, obeying God's command, the angel stopped him because it was a test to see if he would obey. Abraham is an example for all of us, but especially now with this season of Lent coming in a few days. Now, Lent is a time of prayer, increased penance, increased sacrifice. Notice I said increase because we are, as Catholics, faithful Catholics, we're supposed to be praying and sacrificing every day. But sometimes we become lax or weak, or we forget, or we become indifferent or cold. So the Church, in her loving wisdom and mercy, asked her faithful to come near the altar at the communion rail where you all receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And here you receive imposed on your forehead blessed ashes burned from the palms of last Palm Sunday of last year. Again, remember, it is a sacramental, so it gives grace, because this inanimate object has been blessed and consecrated by the Church to give grace, because that's how God connects to us, to use human and ordinary things to convey divine things. His very body was that. He looked as an ordinary man, but his very being, his very existence changed the entire course of history for the universe, literally. So we receive the ashes, and much more will be said about that on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday. But it is a preview, because those ashes are meant to remind us that this life is short. Whether a person lives for a few months or over 100 years, in terms of eternity, compared to eternity, it is very short. So there's no time to waste. Even if we think we are on the right track, every Ash Wednesday, every Lent should be I've got to take this really seriously now. My faith, my life, my vocation, my sanctification. Because at the day of judgment, there is only one thing that matters. And that is believing and hoping and loving in God. If the burdens of sin are so great that we despair, we can be lost forever. And nobody wants that to happen. I'm going to read to you something maybe only a few of you have heard before. And these are two prayers that help a person to get ready to die. Now, why do I say that? It sounds somewhat morose. But when the priest imposes the ashes, he says in Latin, "Remember, man, thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return." These are two prayers that are said to a person who has just received the sacrament of extreme unction. Great privilege to receive that sacrament before dying. But Holy Mother, the Church also gives what's called the last blessing or apostolic blessing. And to help prepare the person for that blessing, which can remove any remains of sin so the person can go straight to heaven, the Church imparts this blessing, and to help prepare them, these prayers are said to them, because everything else is in Latin, but these are said to them in English. So listen very carefully. O my God, I believe in thee. I hope in thee. I love thee. I'm sorry for all my sins. I am ready to accept and bear all pains and sufferings, even death itself, with resignation to thy divine will and in punishment for my sins. My Jesus, mercy. In the second prayer, it's quite lengthy, but it's worth hearing. By the goodness of God, my dear friend, you have already received the last sacraments, which were intended to strengthen your soul and arm you in your last conflict in your journey to eternity. However, to inspire you with confidence, I shall now impart to you the apostolic blessing of His Holiness with a plenary indulgence for the full discharge of whatever debts of sin may yet stand against you and retard your entrance into heaven. Raise your heart to God by a lively faith in the merits of your Savior Jesus Christ, who died for your salvation. Offer yourself to Him without reserve, to love Him for all eternity. Beg of Him by an act of sincere contrition to pardon all your sins. Accept death as a punishment due to your offenses, and trust in His divine mercy that He will now release you from all your sins, and at the hour of your death will grant you eternal rest. This will be your happiness if you turn your heart from the things of this world and long to be with Christ. Look upon this earth as a land of exile. Repeat the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Let your thoughts and your sighs be directed to that heavenly country for which you have been created, where death shall be no more, where you will live forever in that happiness which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man hath ever conceived. Now, when the priest says these prayers, it's for that person, but it's also for himself and anyone else who happens to be there. And I thought it would be good for you. I wanted to share it with you because just recently I administered the sacrament of extreme unction and gave the apostolic blessing and read these prayers to this person. Now what can happen, as you know, is the sacrament of extreme unction can, as a secondary result, restore health. And that has happened to many people that all the priests here have administered this sacrament to. There was one man whom most of you know who died about in the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. But a year after I was ordained, I was called to the hospital. And he had been in the hospital for some time, but he was receiving tests, and we gave him a blessing of the sick, which is the standard practice when the priest visits someone who's not dying or in danger of death. Gave him the blessing, he looked fine, and then I'm driving back, and I got a call that he had some crisis. I don't know if it's a possible stroke or heart attack, whatever was happening, and I basically had to turn around and go right back to the hospital. And he was in ICU, and I could not get to him because there were all these doctors and nurses around him trying to save him. And I had to wait like 2 hours because they just wouldn't let me in. It was a very sterile environment. And I was praying fervently that I could give extreme unction to this man who had been a faithful parishioner for decades. And then something happened, and they said, you can come in. And I gave him the sacrament of extreme unction in the few moments I had. You may not know this, but when that sacrament is administered, there are prayers before and after, and the person goes, if they wish, to go to confession beforehand. But they are anointed with oil of the sick, right from the ambry here where the oils, holy oils, are kept. They're anointed on both eyes, in the form of a cross, nostrils, earlobes, their ears, their lips, their hands, and then their feet. So they're totally consecrated and prepared to meet Christ. However, sometimes there's an emergency and the person is dying and the priest cannot go through all the ritual, and so the church, in case of emergency, for example, a car accident, can anoint them with one cross with the holy oils right on their forehead, just like at baptism. And then they can die. Well, this man lived another 12 years, recovered, and was totally normal. He lived, couldn't get to church very often, but that's what that sacrament does and what the blessings do for the church, for all of you. But what is required for all of us is the practice of these virtues. The greatest, of course, is charity, but first we have to have faith. If we don't have faith in Christ, that he's our Redeemer and that he died for our sins, then how can we trust in him and even love him? That is what the great and persevering faith was of Abraham, because as you may know, in the Old Testament, people lived a lot longer. There was a time when God decided to limit the age, the length of people's lives, because, frankly, too many sins, too many people getting into trouble. Because sometimes men would live not over 900 years, not Methuselah, over 900 years. Well, Abraham died and he went to limbo, the place of waiting. And he joined and was joined by countless souls who believed in the promise of the Redeemer. And they waited there until Christ came on Ascension Thursday and took them up to heaven. He visited them on Easter Sunday, but they all went to heaven because of their faith. When we're baptized, we are consecrated to Christ. We're buried with him in the water, symbolically, sacramentally, and then we are prepared to rise with him on the last day. But we're given this time of preparation, of training, of testing, which is called our lifetime. And is not to be wasted or treated lightly. So all the things that come into our lives, people and circumstances and temptations, they're all designed by God according to his providence, his divine will, to make us saints. Did you know that? We're all supposed to be saints. If we don't respond to those graces he gives, then we start getting off our path. So that's, as I said earlier, that's why we have Ash Wednesday and the time of penance and purification with Lent. Now, obviously, during Lent, we are meant to make sacrifices. So when I was growing up, okay, what are we going to give up for Lent? We were told by the sisters in the Catholic school or our parents or brothers and sisters, okay, what are we going to do? Give up candy, give up certain things. I've heard people, I'm going to give up smoking. Now that's really harmful for your life, but to your life, to smoke. And that's good to give it up. But there's so many more things we can do. By having a firm and strong desire to give up our vices, our bad habits. And how do we know what they are? They are the sins that we confess all the time, what we're guilty of. Remember, guilt, as opposed to the entire rest of the world and the media, guilt is a beautiful and good thing. Because it's God telling us, putting in us, that's part of our human nature. Every human being has it. What's right from wrong in the very basics? And as we grow up and as we learn the faith, we learn all the nuances, all the fine-tuning of what's right and wrong. But we still have to give up those bad things. And now is the time to do it. To take faith, your faith seriously. Take Lent seriously. We all have to do it. And one of the best ways is to think of the example of this a young man. He never existed, actually, but his story did, because it was a parable of our Lord. And this will be the last thing we tell you. His story is read on one of the Saturdays of Lent. So it's not really preached about very much. But for me, it's my favorite parable of our Lord. the parable of the prodigal son. I will not read the account, but I will read a commentary on it and a prayers to go with it from St. Alphonsus. So, listen carefully. St. Luke writes that an ungrateful son, disdaining to remain in subjection to his father, went one day to demand from him his inheritance, that he might live as he pleased, and having obtained it, turned his back on his father and went his way to live in vice in a far distant country. This prodigal son is a figure of the sinner who, abusing the liberty which God has granted him, forsakes God and lives in iniquity far away from him. O my Lord and my Father, this is what I have done. When to satisfy my capricious desires, I have so often forsaken thee to live at a distance from thee, deprived of thy grace. But as it happened to the prodigal son, that having left his father, he was reduced to so great a misery that he was unable to satisfy himself with the husks which the swine refused to eat. So does it happen to the sinner. When he forsakes God, he can nowhere find contentment nor peace, because at a distance from God, all the pleasures of the earth cannot satisfy his heart. The prodigal son, seeing himself reduced to such a state of misery, said within himself, I will arise and go to my father. Do thou, Christian, in like manner, arise from the filth of sin and return to your heavenly Father, who will not reject you. Yes, my God, my Father, I confess that I have done evil in forsaking thee. I am sorry for it and repent of it with my whole heart. Oh, do not cast me off now that I have returned to thee penitent, and resolve never more to depart from before thy feet. My dear Father, forgive me. Pardon me and give me the kiss of peace and receive me into thy favor. The prodigal son, on his return, cast himself with humility at his father's feet and said, Father, I am not worthy to be called thy son. Upon which his father embraced him with tenderness, and forgetting all his past ingratitude, welcomed him with greatest affection, and was overjoyed at regaining his son, who was lost. Most tender Father, suffer me to cast myself with sorrow at thy feet for my multiplied offenses against thee. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Having so many times forsaken and despised thee, but I know that thou art so good a parent that thou wilt not reject a repentant child. If hitherto I have not loved thee, I will now love thee above all things and will willingly undergo any suffering for thy love. Assist me with thy holy grace that I may ever remain faithful to thee. O Mary, God is my Father, thou art my Mother. Be not forgetful of me. That's why that man, St. Alphonsus, is a saint. And you can tell that he had the divine charity of St. Paul, who in this most beautiful of all epistles shows us what love is really all about. I read it to you in English. It'd be good to read it once again sometime today to remind you of what charity is and what it is not. When we love God and love our neighbor with that perfection, sin just drifts away because we're just focused on God and getting to heaven with the help of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May God bless you.